with the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. We seek refuge with Allah against the rejected enemy. This is the tape interview with John Davis that was taped October 9th in Chicago around 1 p.m. This is the response interview with Imam Muhammad in the presence of Sister Shirley Muhammad in response to the tribute of respect given October 7th at the Pavilion Circle Campus here in Chicago, Illinois, by Minister Farrakhan and the Final Call Incorporated. The interview speaks for itself. We pray, Allah, that you will enjoy it.
Yes, I'm sure you're aware that I paid my respects to the 50th.
Yes, I'm sure. I know exactly. And I don't think anyone who recognizes and understands the situation saw it any more than that. It was a situation where we paid respect to my father.
Right.
And that was the reason for the tribute.
Right.
Otherwise, Savior's Day probably still would have been held in February.
Right.
Let me ask you something, because it seems like someone said that it was you from Channel 2.
Right.
Said that I didn't see it, so you correct me. It was a problem with how it was presented on Channel 2.
It was a definite problem.
Yeah, so how?
Well, the problem was, and it was not really definite to anybody, and it certainly was not on my part to misconstrue. But what happened is I called for from the pavilion through two-way, having seen the videotape that was being fed back directly to the station, I told the editor and the writer that I wanted 15, 16 seconds at the top of you coming in, the embrace and handshake. Then I wanted a 24-second soundbite of him from the podium, which explained, if you saw the piece I did yesterday at 6, it was a more fuller and more complete piece without a context.
They were happy about it, felt good about it.
Oh, everybody felt very good.
Yeah.
But
the point was, it was supposed to be a 24-second soundbite of him explaining, it really was in reference to the time when he came to his father after the death of Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. You see?
And that really explained why he was there.
Sure.
Exactly,
and of course yesterday I had a chance to fully explain that again.
Right.
But it would have been explained so explanatorily
if
they had done it the 24 piece like I asked them to, and instead of a 5 second, it turned to be a 5 second sound, which made no sense at all and completely out of context. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I came in yesterday morning raising holy heck with everybody, and it did not stop until about 3 o'clock yesterday after my attitude had finally cooled off.
So you understand the situation?
I do understand the situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be misunderstood either. Mm-hmm.
Have you been at CBS long?
4 years.
Are you originally from
Texas?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you get some audio levels?
Wallace Muhammad, Chicago, Illinois.
Beautiful.
John?
Okay, I'll be speaking about this level.
Can you turn your chair a little bit towards you?
Right, thanks. Directly
to John. Okay. Get better eye contact.
Bill Curtis, and I had a discussion yesterday because, there are some significant things, and Tom Todd's religion, and we had some discussions as well, about the significance, really, of even the slightest symbolism of reconciliation. It is very, very important, really, to follow his speech. And to the black community as a whole. I mean, there's a deep, deep significance. And when people stand on their feet and applaud and really pour themselves out, I mean, some of those people were in there and the audience crying. And I thought it was a very moving kind of tribute to the tribute.
Yeah, I was afraid that they were expecting that. That was too much of a coming together, you know. I said, well, they might be expecting that I'm coming here to become one with him on the end of that.
I don't think. I'm sure that there were those in the audience who read for themselves individually more than I did. But I think collectively they were just happy to see this tribute to the tribute.
Yeah, I was surprised myself by the response. The welcome that they gave me, the acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And they're happy to see me come back because it makes it easier for them.
I'm ready to try.
Okay. We were speaking with the Imam Warsh Deen Muhammad, and really your official response to the tribute to your father and what it meant to you.
Well, it meant an opportunity to say publicly that I appreciate all of the positive works of Al-Jai Muhammad, especially what he did to give appreciation for disciplined life to many poor and poorly educated and poor materially African Americans who otherwise perhaps wouldn't have never been turned on to a disciplined life.
What was your father really like? And what have you derived from this teaching?
More than anything else, I think what he imparted to us was a sense of discipline, of appreciation for a disciplined life. That's what he imparted to us more than anything else. Many other things that he did, I think his boldness kind of emboldened us, you know, gave us courage and made us feel that we don't have to be shy or sit back or stand back. We could come forward. I think he gave courage to many of us. Perhaps those two things are the strongest contributions to his people. Courage and discipline.
Have his teachings, has Minister Farrakhan lived up to those teachings in your estimation?
Yes, he's bold. He's very bold. I believe he lives disciplined by not so much I don't see really importance just there, although I say it, that's his manifestation. That's what manifests, you know, his courage that he imparted to black people and dignity, sense of pride, sense of respect and pride in one's race and et cetera. Just as did Marcus Garvey and a few others, you know. Even James Brown, you know, he came along that time too, and he gave us a great sense of pride in our race and in our color. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for his members, he imparted something to me that most of us miss, are not conscious of it. I think most of us are in accord with it, but most of us are not conscious of it than I am. And that is, he imparted to us a spirit and an attitude, a spirit to accept change when it's necessary, a spirit, an attitude to accept change when it's necessary, a spirit to appreciate goodness, and to appreciate honesty and righteousness, whatever that is excellent, a spirit to appreciate everything that is excellent. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he conditioned us to, even after saying the white man was a devil or identifying the white man as a devil force, he also conditioned us to appreciate the positive and great achievements of the white race, the Western people. And he would often compliment the white race for its great achievements, especially in science and industry. And not only that, and also in his ability to differ with his own people and yet support his own people. Salam Ali Muhammad, he used to praise the white race for that, and I felt that he was imparting that to us. He was saying, those are characteristics that you should have. So I see Salam Ali Muhammad as doing things in a formal way, or in the way of organizing and regimenting, but I see him also as a man who's kind of a doctor and a wise man, who imparted influences to us, who fed influences into us that would outlive and survive the necessary regimentation that he was given.
On the occasion of the other night, the tribute to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there was at least a symbolic coming together, joining of hands and embrace. Are you and Mr. Willis Wright?
Yes.
The significance of that?
That's American. I think that's American. I know a Muslim would say, well, that's Muslim of you. It's not American. It's Muslim of you. But it's American to be so far apart and get together. If I lived in Saudi Arabia, there would be no need for me to be coming to embrace another Muslim, because we don't have the right range of sensitivities, the right range of interests, political sensitivity and political interests, that we have in American society. In America, we have the ultra conservative, the ultra liberal, and Farrakhan is a product not only of his religion, but he's a product of the American environment. And I think I'm also a product, to a great extent, of the American environment. But I tend to want to build upon unity. And I think my spirit is more the spirit of what we call Tawheed in our religion. It means the unity, the oneness, which begins with the unity of God, oneness of God, unity of creation, the oneness of creation, the oneness of man, and the unity of man, you know. So I find that this principle of Tawheed perhaps is more a concern of mine than perhaps it is Farrakhan's. Whereas perhaps it is his concern, but he chooses to respond to trouble in the environment, trouble in society, where I choose to respond first to that central being in the whole life that represents for me survival, integrity, continuity for my soul and being. And then after relating to that, or after consulting that, then I look to see how big the problem is outside of that. Then I look from that point to see the problem away from that. So I look at difficulties for the race, for the black man in Africa and in America and many places. Where I look at those difficulties and I register the burden, the pain of that. I believe just as Farrakhan does, but the way we react is different. So when we came together, it was not a coming together of political figures. It was a coming together of religious figures. He belongs to the same religion I belong to, and he has made an announcement in his publication inviting his people to practice Islam, just as it's practiced by Muslims all over the world. So that gave me the opportunity to do something that I feel in my soul that I must do, and that is pay tribute to the positive works of all life Muhammad.
Could there be, can there be, will there be Tawheed between yourself and Mr. Farrakhan factions? Will there be a unity, a oneness?
We hope so. We hope so. But we have to accept that right for now, we have to accept that he has publicly given his approval to his community to be Muslims just as Muslims exist all over the world. To believe in the one God, to believe that the humanity is one. There are no creations, a human creation and a devil creation for human beings. The devil is a different human being, a different creation than a human creation. And there's no God as man, there's no man as God. God is God and man is man, you know.
So as long as we stick with these essentials of our religion, then we have no reason to stand back and not embrace him as a Muslim.
Politically, he told me yesterday that he is pretty much shying away from the political arena, particularly involvement in candidates such as Jesse Jackson's candidacy for the presidency, as he did in 1984. Perhaps to stay out of the arena of Mayor Harold Washington, who just does not see the value. He has perhaps learned a lesson, grim and painful perhaps as it was in 1984, and the storm of controversy that surrounded his involvement politically, that he is going to perhaps remain in the shadows of political arena. Do you think that's a good decision?
I don't know. I can't say. We're two different people. Now, if I felt that I had made some mistakes or if it hadn't worked right before, then I think I wouldn't step outside of the arena, but I would just come forward and correct whatever was done wrong, you know, and I would state what my position is now. I find that people, by and large, are understanding and considerate, you know, and if they see you coming straight, they'll accept you.
In the tone that I have heard him of late, he does seem reconciliatory. In a question from Walter Jacobson yesterday, he indicated when questioned that he is not as brash and as fierce as rhetorically Piper perhaps as he was in 1984. And he said, in his response, that he doesn't feel attacked anymore, so there's no need for him to attack. That he is, in effect, laid down his sword, though obviously he has not forgotten where he put his sword. Because obviously, if the opportunity presents itself, and he is attacked, he will defend himself, which seems perhaps only right.
Yes.
But he does seem a little reconciliatory. Perhaps he's recognized that the environment has changed, or has he changed to match the environment?
I believe anybody can change. And I know one thing, he's very bright, brilliant, he's a very intelligent person. He's keen, he's very sharp. And he's also a person who likes to rethink the situation, you know. He's capable of going back and thinking the situation all over again. So perhaps he himself has changed. I saw a milder person at the tribute in Farrakhan. Now maybe it was because of the...
Was it the occasion itself?
The occasion, the circumstances there. So I can't say that he has changed. And maybe many people I know, many of his followers wouldn't want him to change, you know, because that's why they support him, because he is outspoken and, well, I would say radical.
You don't think it would be in his best interest then to change too much, particularly with
if
but he is the leader, I would think that he'd be able to change the thinking of his followers.
If moral conscience is urging a change in a person, I think they should change no matter what the consequences are. If that moral issue is big enough, important enough.
Malcolm X also went through a moral change. He went through a change after coming from Mecca.
Yes.
Was it that change, perhaps, that led to his death? Does Farrakhan run the same kind of risk if that is the case?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's different because right now I'm seeing Farrakhan as a person who can make great contributions to toward the goal of bringing people who thought themselves to be on the right Islamic path, on that right Islamic path, you see. If he has made an announcement inviting his people to join all Muslims of the world in the practice of this religion, then I think he's a hope for us Muslims. He's a hope for Muslims that many of his people will come gradually, and many will come suddenly, maybe, to the right practice of this religion. So I can't see his situation as I saw Malcolm's situation. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad saw Malcolm as really betraying, you know, deserting the Nation of Islam. I don't see Farrakhan as betraying or deserting. I see him as a man who's trying to find his own place in the world, and is urged by certain concerns and interests that may not be important to me as they are to him, you see.
What are those concerns?
That makes for the difference.
What are those concerns that you see?
I think he feels that he has a mission to continue the life and the works of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my late father. Whereas I don't think that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad intended for any of us to take up his life and his works and try to continue those things. I think that he expected us just to take the best of what he had to offer and live by it.
Has Farrakhan then taken the worst of what he had to offer?
I won't say that, but I think there's not a clear selection of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in his excellence. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a great excellence, and what he was in rhetoric is quite different from what he was in essence.
Your late father, when he was in Arizona, is said to have invited police officials to the home.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's true.
Your late father, mm-hmm, is said to have invited police officials to his home in Arizona. First to explain to them who he really was, and to let them see for themselves who he really was. And it is said that when they left his home in Arizona that night, that they had a much, much deeper appreciation for what he was trying to do, what he was trying to accomplish. And as you perhaps said, put his rhetoric behind,
right,
what he was actually trying to do in practicality. Ms. Farrakhan has suggested similarly doing something of that work, perhaps even inviting rabbis to his home.
Yes, but if he does that, then what we want to see is a gradual blending of his works with the works that we are trying to do, and with the works that the positive leaders are trying to do for African American people. I like what he's doing to give employment to the unemployed. I like that. I like what he's doing to increase the sense of personal accountability for one's behavior. You know, I like all of that, you know, and the militancy. I don't even have a problem with that militancy. If it's a militancy that is intended to give honor to a person's life, who didn't respect honor before, you know. But if it's a militancy that has as its purpose future war or Armageddon or something like that, you know, or war with the race, the white race, then not only is it something that I reject, but it's something that I say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't trying to do. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not trying to train the FOI for a final battle to the white race. He was giving it to them as a therapy to bring them into a life of honor and discipline.
change your battery? Are you tape?
Yeah, tape is out.
Okay. Things, I mean, obviously we all change. It's interesting talking to Jesse Jackson this morning.
Can I just put two wheels in?
Okay, that's fine.
We got a full 20 here.
We have to live through these experiences before we can obviously change. And like children that we are, we constantly learn.
You're talking about individual change?
Yeah.
But some people don't want to change. Because
things will change you. If you don't change yourself, your survival will depend on change, sooner or later.
Yeah, some people change for the wrong reason. Some people change not for, I hate to use the words pure because it sounds naive, but some people change not for a pure reason. Mm-hmm. They change for other reasons, materialistic, egotistical, or something like that.
Right. Well, I don't know many people who don't. I mean, don't change for a particular gain. I mean, if it's going to be, if that gain is pure in the sense of it brings harmony between groups of people, a situation, or an economic condition.
But sometimes, if you are an honest and pure person, you might have to change for unselfish reasons. See, most people change for selfish reasons.
Oh.
How's this going to affect me? You know. But there's special people that change because they feel obliged to change, compelled to change, especially when it's in a religious context. You understand what I'm saying? And when a person is aware that what they're doing wrong in a religious context and don't change, then that is. See, it's different if you, let me say this in your own language. Elijah Muhammad was a, you see? He thought he was teaching the real religion.
Mm-hmm.
So he was innocent. Our kinds of innocent. That's all I have to say.
I know exactly what you're saying. But there were going to be opportunities at his death anyway.
Yeah.
I mean.
Of course.
You know.
Of course. But I just wanted you to say that.
I understand all of that, but I'm talking about the evolution or the revolution, but obviously the evolution.
The evolution
of the opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, your turn is going to run its course.
That's right.
And you have to be prepared for change, which means that at the end of its running its course, things are going to change rather drastically. You know.
Not necessarily.
Well,
that's kind of like, not necessarily.
Well,
doesn't always.
I mean, we can gradually go to old age.
Yes.
We can respectfully go to old age. We can, you know, we can
but
see.
But then again, you might die before you get
true.
All right. That's what I'm saying.
You know that the crowd that he had at the tribute, his people were told also that was stated. We were invited to the tribute.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand that from what words went out to the people, that his people were also given that understanding that it was stated.
Sure, it was on the radio.
Okay.
I heard the spots on the radio. It was almost Savior's Day in one breath, and
but do you
made
understand?
Tribute to the honorable Elijah Muhammad.
But do you understand what he's talking about?
I'm going to complete. I'm going to finish what I'm saying. Now, Farrakhan knows that received big money, $4 million. This is his special day, and he. And did he invite people from all over the country?
Mm-hmm.
I think even someone was there from the Caribbean, Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
And he has only 8,000 people there.
Be aware of that. He's getting
paid. Those are our family members.
Don't start taking
them to
everybody.
You know, the Christians and everybody.
No.
So that
well,
tells me
think he
that he's not as popular now as he was maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, but his popularity was in a political context.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And it was in that political, the media elevated him into political prominence.
Well, that's
whether he wanted to be or not.
Right.
He wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Even if he used
wanted
the media,
he don't care how he got it.
I believe that. But in the same situation, same context, Everybody was riding high with a tremendous amount of anticipation and intensity during that political campaign. I mean, I was on the campaign as early as 1983, and went to the conventions, through the conclusion of the conventions, and then, I mean, from a mayoral contest here in Chicago in 1983 to a presidential candidate, a candidacy involving someone I knew in Chicago, Jesse Jackson, through 1984. And Louis Farrakhan.